Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 24, Matsya, the Lord's Fish Incarnation. So we're going to read the chapter introduction, and then I guess I'll do text one, which has a very short purport. This chapter describes the Supreme Personality of Godhead's incarnation as a fish. And it also describes the saving of Maharaj Satyavrata from an inundation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead expands himself by Swamsa, his personal expansions, and Vibhinamsa, his expansions as the living entities. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 4, Text 8, Paritranaya Sadunam Vinishaya Chaduskritam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appears on this planet for the protection of the sadhus, or devotees, and for the destruction of the miscreants, or non-devotees. He especially descends to give protection to the cows, the brahmanas, the demigods, the devotees, and the Vedic system of religion. Thus he appears in various forms. Sometimes as a fish, sometimes a boar, sometimes Nrisimhadev, sometimes Vamanadev, and so on. But in any form or incarnation, although he comes within the atmosphere of the material modes of nature, he is unaffected. This is a sign of his supreme controlling power. Although he comes within the material atmosphere, Maya cannot touch him. Therefore, no material qualities can be attributed to him in any degree. Once, at the end of the previous kalpa, a demon named Hayagriva wanted to take the Vedic knowledge away from Lord Brahma at the time of annihilation. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead took the incarnation of a fish at the beginning of the period of Swayambhuva Manu and saved the Vedas. During the reign of Chakshusha Manu, there was a king named Satyavrata, who is a great pious ruler. To save him, the Lord appeared as the fish incarnation for a second time. King Satyavrata later became the son of the sun god, who is known as Shraddhadev. He was established as Manu by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To receive the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, King Satyavrata engaged in the austerity of subsisting only by drinking water. Once, while performing this austerity on the bank of the Kritamala River, and offering oblations of water with the palm of his hand, he found a small fish. The fish appealed to the king for protection, asking the king to keep him in a safe place. Although the king did not know that the small fish was the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, as a king he gave shelter to the fish and kept him in a water jug. The fish, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, wanted to show his potency to King Satyavrata, and thus he immediately expanded his body in such a way that he could no longer be kept in the jug of water. The king then put the fish in a big well, but the well was also too small. Then the king put the fish in a lake, but the lake was also unsuitable. Finally, the king put the fish in the sea, but even the sea could not accommodate him. Thus, the king understood that the fish was no one else but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he requested the Lord to describe his incarnation as a fish. The Personality of Godhead, being pleased with the king, informed him that within a week there would be an inundation throughout the universe, and that the fish incarnation would protect the king along with the rishis, herbs, seeds, and other living entities in a boat, which would be attached to the fish's horn. After saying this, the Lord disappeared. King Satyavrata offered respectful obeisances to the Supreme Lord and continued to meditate upon him. In due course of time, annihilation took place, and the king saw a boat coming near. After getting aboard with the learned brahmanas and saintly persons, he offered prayers to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, and thus he taught Maharaj Satyavrata and saintly persons about Vedic knowledge from the core of the heart. King Satyavrata took his next birth as Vaivaswatamanu, who is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Can anybody quote the verse? Vivasvan Manave. Yeah. Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavan Aham Aviam Vivasvan Manave Prahur Imam Mikshvakave Brivit. That in the beginning I instructed this imperishable science to the sun god Vivasvan, who instructed it to his son Manu, right? Who instructed Ikshvaku. No. Say it again. Manu, yeah, that's what I said. Instructed his son Manu, and Manu instructed it to his son Ikshvaku. So that's Bhagavad Gita 4.1. So anyways, it says here, he's mentioning the Bhagavad Gita, Vivasvan Manave Praha. The sun god spoke the science of Bhagavad Gita to his son Manu. Because of being the son of Vivasvan, this Manu is known as Vaivaswata Manu. So that's the chapter introduction. So much for the cliffhanger ending of this chapter. We know the whole story. But that's the way the Bhagavatam does things. So anyway, now we'll chant the first shloka together. Sri Raja Vacha Bhagavan Chotram Ichami Hare Adbhuta Karmana Avatara katam adyam Maya matsya vadambanam Shri Raja Vacha Bhagavan Chotram Ichami Hader Adbhuta Karmana Avatara katam adyam Maya Matsya Vadambanam Shri Raja Vacha Bhagavan Chotram Ichami Hare Radbhuta Karmana Avatara Katam Adyam Maya Matsya Vadambanam Ajabacha. Oh. Bhagavan Chochan Ichchami. Hare Radhuta Karmana. Hitamajam. Maya Matsya Padambanam. They used to have these, if they didn't want somebody on the stage, they had this big long cane and they. But we got Archie to act. If he doesn't want somebody to chant, he just kind of. Vaishnavis? Sri Rajavacha. Bhagavan Chochamichchami. Hare Radhuta Karmana. Avatara Katamajam. Maya Matsya Vadambanam. Shri Raja Vacha. King Parikit said, Bhagavan, O most powerful, Shrotam, to hear, Ichami, I desire, Hare, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hare, Adbhuta Karmana, whose activities are wonderful, Avatara Katam, pastimes of the incarnation. Adyam, first. Maya Matsya Vadambanam, which is simply an imitation of a fish. Purport. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Parikit said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, is eternally situated in His transcendental position, yet He descends to this material world and manifests Himself in various incarnations. His first incarnation was that of a great fish. O most powerful Sukadeva Goswami, I wish to hear from you the pastimes of that fish incarnation. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is all-powerful, yet He accepted the form of an uncommon fish. This is one of the 10 original incarnations of the Lord. Om Aginatam Anandashajan Anjanashalakaya Chakshurim Militam Yenatasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitamina Bhutale Swayam Upagadamayam Tadati Swapadam. So does anybody know that verse? It's Prabhupada's referring to a verse here. I actually, when I was preparing the class, when I first read it, I was thinking, oh, I got to find that verse, and then I forgot to. So Prabhupada said, this is one of the 10 original incarnations of the Lord. He's referring to the song by Jayadeva Goswami, Das Avatar. Somebody know that? Yeah, good. Yeah, it's one of the 10 original incarnations. Actually, it's the first incarnation. So, Maharaj Parikit here is requesting Sukadeva Goswami to narrate for him the pastime of the fish incarnation, and we just got finished hearing about Vamana, the incarnation of Vamana, and. We're hearing in these narrations, we're hearing how Krishna in these different incarnations is reciprocating with his devotees. You know, it's like the pastime of Vamana. It's just about as much about Bali Maharaj. You're hearing as much about Bali Maharaj as you are about Vamana Dev. You're hearing a lot about Vamana Dev, but you're hearing a tremendous amount about Bali Maharaj. Here, you're going to be hearing a lot about Matsya, and you hear a lot about King Satyavrata. So, you know, we're hearing about both the Lord and how he's interacting, how he's reciprocating with his devotee. And just hearing that is purifying. You know, Srinvatam Svakata Krishna Punyashravana Kirtana Ridyantaksto Hiyabhadvidani Vidunoti Saratana. Just hearing these narrations is purifying for the consciousness. And that's part of the reason, you know, why they're in the Bhagavatam. Just by hearing about them, it's, you know, beneficial. Our consciousness gets purified. But I won't say above and beyond that, but in addition to that, another aspect of why they're there in the Bhagavatam is to encourage us. It's to encourage us into, you know, inspire us to try to get into, experience that reciprocal loving relationship with Krishna ourselves. In other words, it's not just these pious, high, you know, highly elevated souls who get to reciprocate with Krishna. Undoubtedly they do, okay? But it's there for everybody. You know, as Prabhupada said in the, chapter introduction here, Krishna expands as the Swamsa, his personal expansions, and Vibhinamsa, his expansions as the living entities. So every living entity potentially can enter into this type of a relationship. You know, as Bali Maharaj was entering into with Vamanadev, as King Satyavrata is having here with Matsya, that's the idea that each one of us eternally has this eternal loving relationship with Krishna, and as we progress in devotional service, it becomes revived. Swarup City, as Prabhupada referred to in the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita. So it's also meant for that purpose, you know, so that we get encouragement. We feel like, yeah, I want to experience this too. I want to experience this kind of, you know, loving reciprocation with Krishna. And Krishna makes it clear in the Bhagavad Gita that he's interested in that. And it's not a problem. It's, as I said, it's not just the pious, elevated devotees who have this opportunity. It's open for everybody. It's open for, you know, people who are lowborn. It's open for people who are degraded. It's open for everybody. And Bhagavad Gita, I think it's 9:32, Krishna says, Mam hi partavai pasritya, yepi suya papayonayastriya vaishastata sudras, tepi anti param gatim. That even those who are low born, women, vaishas, sudras, if they take shelter of me in devotional service, they can come to me. You see? So Krishna's making it clear. He's not concerned with the social position. You know, that's not what he's really interested in. I'm only interested in associating with people who are from a high social position. No. What Krishna's interested in is the love and the devotion, not your social position. And, just a few verses before that, in that same chapter, he says, Patsaram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachati tadaham bhakti paritam ashnami prayatatmanaha. That if one offers me with love and devotion, a leaf, fruit, flower, water, I accept. So, and Prabhupada in the purport makes it clear that that's really what Krishna's interested in, love and devotion. He doesn't care what your social position is. And there's so many verses, you know, supporting that point. I mean, same chapter, Krishna says, Samoham savabhuteshu name dvesto stinapriya ye bhajante tumam bhakcha mai te teshu chapyam. I'm equal to everyone. I'm not partial to anyone. I'm not envious of anyone. I'm not partial to anyone. I'm equal to all. But so what's the deal? One who renders service to me in love and devotion as a friend is in me and I'm a friend to him. Once again, same point. You know, I don't care about the social position, Krishna's saying. I'm interested in who wants to be a devotee, who wants to, you know, engage in my devotional service and, you know, with love and devotion like that. And the Vedic literatures are replete, is that the correct word? Replete with examples of this. In the process of preparing the class, I just, you know, tried to remember, like, think of a few examples, and devotees from here in the audience could maybe supply some more. That in Krishna Leela, there's the example of Shrutadev. You know, Krishna was on some sort of a pilgrimage. I'm not sure exactly what was going on, but he was traveling with like Narada Muni and Vyasadeva, you know, these exalted personalities, and he got two invitations simultaneously. One from a king, I think it was king of Mithila, Bahulashva, and simultaneously got an invitation from a Brahmin. Was that his name, Shrutadev? Pretty sure. And so Krishna, the whole traveling Sankirtan party, so to speak, expanded into two. And one group went to visit the king in Nitil, and the other group went to visit Shrutadev. Shrutadev was a Brahmin, but he was very poor, very, humble. It wasn't degraded, but, but Krishna wasn't concerned. And, he was equally happy to visit both of them. Probably the better examples than that are, Vidura. Vidura was also, he was considered Dasiputra. He wasn't considered like socially elevated, but Krishna was more eager to take his association than he was, a king, Duryodhana. But maybe even better examples than that is the wives of the Brahmins. They were women. So even though they were wives of Brahmins, they were women. So, Stidya, Vaishyas, women are considered low, at least particularly at that time, lower birth, But Krishna was very pleased with them, how they responded when they were requested to give food for Krishna and Balaram. The gopis also, on Prabhupada in lectures, I heard him say, the gopis were just village girls. They weren't kshatriyas, they weren't Brahmins. And they didn't have a high social position, but they're considered the greatest devotees of Krishna. In Chaitanya Lila, you have Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was considered a social outcast, basically, because he was, even though he was born in a Mohammedan family, but Lord Chaitanya was very happy to have his association. Kolavecha Sridhar was extremely poverty-stricken, but, it wasn't concerned. Lord Ramachandra, Lord Ramachandra was associating with personalities who weren't even, technically speaking, human beings. The Hanuman and the monkeys, they weren't really monkeys, they were vanaras, but they weren't human beings. They weren't exactly monkeys, but wouldn't be correct to say they were human beings either. There was another one of the 400,000 human-like species. But so what? He wasn't, wasn't worried about it. He was happy to, they were devotees. They were willing to be engaged in devotional service. So Lord Ramachandra was happy to, give him his association. So, the main thing is the person wants Krishna consciousness. Actually, another example that occurred to me here is that during the time of Lord Chaitanya, low class Mohammedans that were complaining against Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. It was actually the Brahmins. The Brahmins it was this so called pious and elevated personalities, they were going to the Chan Kazi and they lodged complaints against Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, saying that this isn't really Hindu, this is some sort of a concoction, and you're the magistrate, you have to take action. You have to do something about it. And it was actually that's what instigated Chan Kazi's trying to stop the congregational chanting. So the point being that Krishna's not concerned about the social position. Krishna's interested in who wants to be a devotee, who wants to, step forward and, render devotional service. And whoever that person is, I'll reciprocate with them. It doesn't matter whether they're women, Vaishyas, Sudras, or anything. There's that verse in the second canto of the Bhagavatam, Kirata Puninda Pulinda Pulkasha Abira. Sumba Yavana Kasaraya Yene Chapapa Yadapashrayashraya Sujanti Tasmai Prabhavishnave Namaha. That somebody could be born in all those are the names of the different outcasts, the races of outcasts, the Huns, the Abiras, the Yavanas, like that. They're all considered like Prabhupada would say first, second, third, fourth class men, and there's fifth, sixth. They're all like ninth, tenth class. But still, it says, yene chapapa yadapashra. If they take shelter of a pure devotee, then they become purified. And also, they become eligible to, have this kind of relationship with Krishna. So once again, the main thing is the devotional service, the bhakti. And the medium for experiencing this, entering into this kind of reciprocation with Krishna is the service. When somebody's willing to render service, then Krishna reciprocates with that service. Prabhupada, 1968, he wrote a letter to Brahmananda. I don't know what the question was. Part of it was answering a question. So Prabhupada's answer was regarding Krishna's being kind upon us should be on the principle that Arjuna followed. Arjuna was Krishna's best friend. But Krishna, this is me paraphrasing it now, but Krishna never told Arjuna, okay, just relax, sit down in the chariot, I'll take care of everything. You know, no, he told him that, you know, you have to fight and at the same time remember me. Yudhyasya cha mam anushmana, like that. So, and then Prabhupada goes on to say in that letter, he says, so this is verbatim, he says, so ordinarily we have to try our best to our best capacity to achieve something. In other words, you engage in some particular service. And then by Krishna's grace, all of a sudden, we shall see everything is there. This sort of help from Krishna is transcendental happiness. See, that's kind of, you know, gives us some insight into how it all works. You know, you have your service and you surrender to your service. And then, you know, Krishna becomes pleased by how you're trying to surrender in your service and he reciprocates. And this sort of help from Krishna is transcendental happiness. That's how it works. So we can all have a experience of this. You know, it's not like you have to, as I said, be some great, great devotee. It's there for everybody. And it's not like it's you have to wait till the end of your life at the moment of death or something. No, it can be almost like a regular daily experience. Oh, well, it could happen any day, put it that way. If you have to be really fortunate to be maybe having that as a regular daily experience, but it can happen any day. And, you know, when you least expect it, it could happen. I mean, I had like a little experience like that yesterday, to be honest with you. I went out on Sankirtan. This is like a, you know, to a much smaller degree than what we're hearing about in the Bhagavatam, but I went out on Sankirtan and we went to Cal State Long Beach and we got there and I was with Dr. Storm and Maharaj Das. And they very appropriately, you know, we got there, they got right out of the vehicle, grabbed their stuff, and off they went. And I said, yeah, I'll see you guys out there. And I said, well, you know, actually, I'm a little bit tired. I'll take a little nap in the back seat. Nobody with them. So I did that. And then about, when I looked at my watch, it was 1 hour later anyway. I guess I was out for about, and I just thought, okay, time to get up. I said, okay, and I just made the decision, okay, let's get up. And nothing happened. You know, I just realized, hey, my body's still in the same place, same position. What's going on? And I thought, well, I'm not paralyzed. I'm just really wiped out. I mean, I was awake, but I was just really wiped out. So I said, Kim, come on, you got to get up. And then, you know, the mind. It's like, you know, Prabhupada says in one purport in the Bhagavad Gita that engaging in devotional service is like declaring war against the illusory energy. And he makes the point that, you know, when you try, Maya, she also you know, kind of steps it up and tries to knock you out of the box, so to speak. So then, you know, so I'm lying there like that, and I'm thinking, okay, come on, get up. And then Maya starts, you know, pounding your mind, and she's going, you know, you can't do this anymore. You're too old. Can't you understand that? You know, you've had a good innings. Just understand, this is it. You can't, not only today, you're finished. Figure out what you're going to do for the rest of your life because you ain't going to do this anymore. And that's what I was hearing, you know. You know, I was going, oh, yeah, I was trying to get it. Maybe that's true, I don't know. Anyway, so I just said, well, anyway, let me just peel myself out of this vehicle. So I just, you know, okay, I slowly crawled out of the vehicle and stood up. And I said, okay, well, I felt a little bit better, you know. And I was thinking, yeah, you know, you can't listen to the mind. You know, that's the first, you can't, first level of surrender. And then I thought, okay, well, let me head over to the school now. So I took my bag and out of the trunk and started walking over there. And I'm seeing, it was 12 o'clock. So I'm seeing all these kids, hundreds of them. You know, it's a big school, CSU Long Beach, 30,000 students. So there's like hundreds of them and they're just, you know, racing back and forth. And I was thinking, How are we gonna do this? How are we gonna make these kids Krishna conscious? I mean, there's like so many hundreds of them, and this, you know, there's one a million, hundreds of them, and Maya just keeps churning them out, and you know, we're just like getting older, and how are we gonna do this anyway? So I felt like overwhelmed, you know, like how is this gonna be fun? But I just figured I just didn't have an answer, so I just kept walking, and you know, I got to where I was gonna do Sankirtan, and I thought, okay, well, all right, here we go. And just approach somebody, and you know, by Prabhupada's mercy, Lord Chaitanya's mercy, within a very short time. The first few people I approached were kind of favorable. You know, they stopped, they took books, they gave a donation. One person took a couple books, gave a nice donation. One person said to me, when I asked him for donation, said, yeah, I'd be honored to take these books and give a donation. I said, and I thought, well, okay, I haven't heard that one before. So then, you know, within a short period of time, maybe like 20 minutes, it just, after a few good experiences like that, I realized to myself, I said, I was asking myself the question, where is the hope? And I realized, here's the hope. You know, here's the hope. The hope is that there are lots of, you know, just innocent people out there. I mean, these were young innocent people. I'm sure there's older innocent people too. You know, I'm doing the schools a lot these days, so I'm just meeting these young innocent people. But there's a lot of, you know, simple, nice, innocent people out there that, given half the chance, they're ready to take books and, you know, give donations. Now, as far as the rest of it goes, that remains to be seen. But at least there's a lot of people in that category. And I'm just one Sankirtan devotee. All the other members of the team are evidence of the, you know, the same thing, because they're coming back with nice results every day. So there are lots of people out there that are willing to just kind of go, yeah, okay, sure, I'll take your book, I'll give a donation. And so there's the hope. There's the hope. Prabhupada said that, you know, there's so many different quotes from Prabhupada. If they read one line of my book, their entire life can be changed. So many, you know, things to that effect. So there is hope that, you know, this Krishna consciousness movement can spread. So that was a good, you know, that was like a positive. I felt that was a reciprocation from Krishna. And then the rest of it was that, as I kept going, I just felt like, you know, the whole fog I had been experiencing just minutes before that, you know, literally just within less than a half hour before that, it all just kind of like disappeared. And I realized I'd gone from feeling like on the, the top of the, but from the bottom of the world, bottom of material world to the, not the top of the spiritual world, but I felt like I certainly wasn't in the bottom of the material world anymore. And I realized, wow, this is amazing. You know, because this is, could only happen in Krishna consciousness, such a drastic, dramatic change of, you know, not just mood, but like the overall experience. And a couple verses came to my mind as this was all happening. One was that verse in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita where it says, upon attaining such a birth, he revives his... How's it go? Upon taking such a birth, he revives his divine consciousness and, you know, engages and takes to yoga again. And I was thinking it was like that, you know, but that's referring to, of course, you know, after dying and taking birth again. But I mean, there's one conversation that Prabhupada was having with George Harrison, and he was explaining how sleeping was a waste of time. And George Harrison quoted some English author, I can't remember who it was, saying how he referred to sleep as little death. You know, when you go to sleep at night, it's like little death. Death is sleeping. And Prabhupada confirmed that. He said, yeah, that when you die, it's like sleeping for 7 months. And, you know, when you go to sleep at night, you're sleeping for one night, 7 hours perhaps, like that. So, but it felt like that. It felt like it was all coming back. You know, there I was just trying to do my service. And all the, you know, the foggy headedness and everything just was kind of like, it went away. And all the lines were there again. And I felt like, you know, Krishna was giving me insights how to, you know, present new angles, you know, say new things about the book, you know, to the students who are coming. And the other verse that came to my mind was Vijaya Vadu Jivanam. You know, in the Shashtaka, the first prayer, it says, Cheto Dapanam Arjanam Bhava Mahadavagani Navapanam Shreyakara Vichandrakavatanam Vijaya Vadu Jivanam, that this Sankirtan is the life of transcendental knowledge. And so I thought about that, and I thought, well, did I ever hear Prabhupada really give an explanation for that? I heard him quote it, but I think the explanation for that verse is that when you engage in Sankirtan, the knowledge becomes alive. You know, you start experiencing what all the stuff that you're hearing about and reading about, when you actually make that effort to, you know, reach out and try to share Krishna consciousness with other people, it becomes alive. And that's what it felt like. It felt like that. I felt like, you know, Krishna was inspiring me. You know, just to do the service and to say the things I was saying to the people and just everything, you know. So that was a good feeling. And then that was, as I said, this is all happening within like maybe like half hour. And then the next thing, after I'd had, you know, boom, 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 like a, what I thought was like a few realizations one after the other, then my cell phone rings, and I look at it, and it's Bala Gopal. And I look, I say, wonder what this could be about. You know, hope everything's okay. So I answer the phone, and Bala Gopal says, "Hi, Rupa, you know, is there any chance you can give Bhagavatam class tomorrow morning?" I said, "Well, I thought to myself, I'm supposed to. I gave Bhagavad Gita class last night, and I don't usually like to give back to back because, you know, I don't know. I thought that I wouldn't have anything to say or whatever, be all used up. But I said, well, yeah, okay. You know, and then I thought, well, maybe this is Krishna's arrangement. I'm supposed to, you know, tell Krishna's set this whole thing up. I felt like that. Krishna set this whole thing up just so that I could." You know, share this experience. So, anyway, so I said yes, and here I am, giving the Bhagavatam class. But so this is how it happens. You know, you just have to make that effort to take shelter, surrender to Krishna, and then Krishna reciprocates. Even Prabhupada, when he expressed this on several many different occasions too, that I can remember is one he was giving a class and he was saying how. You know, he was thinking when he came here to America and he told people about the four regulative principles, you know, no illicit sex, no meeting, no intoxication, no gambling, they would say, please go home. Right? Everybody probably, many devotees have heard that lecture. Then Prabhupada said, but anyway, he thought, let me try. You know, so, and devotees would cheer. And then on another occasion in a letter to, I think it was Sudama, Prabhupada said, when I was alone in your New York, I was thinking, who will listen to me in this horrible, sinful place? Mm-hmm. But at least I can distribute a few of my books. That is something. And so in other words, he's feeling, you know, he's revealing his mind to us, at least it was for our benefit. But he's saying on one level, he's feeling like, what's the hope? This is kind of doesn't look very optimistic here, but he made that decision. Prabhupada made that decision. You know, just like when he used to go visit the ticket agent. You know, for this India steamship company, it's in the Leelamrita, how he used to meet this Mr. Forster or something like that, and he used to say, when is the next boat going back to India, you know? So on one level, maybe, you know, superficially, he was kind of maybe feeling a little bit discouraged or something, but the significant thing is he made that decision. No, I got my service to do, I'm going to do it. You see? Despite that I might be feeling like this or thinking like this or whatever, I got my service to do and I'm going to surrender to it. That was Prabhupada's, you know, conclusion. I'm going to do it. And then, of course, we know the result. And in the next sentence of that letter that he was writing to Sudama, he said, but Krishna was all along planning something I could not see. You see, you surrender, this is how it works. You surrender to Krishna and then Krishna reveals. You see, Krishna was all along planning something I could not see. He brought you young boys and girls to me one by one for spreading the message of Lord Chaitanya. Now I could see it's a miracle. And Prabhupada actually, you know, felt like that. That was his experience. Now I could see it's a miracle. He says, otherwise, in your city of New York, one old man with barely enough money for getting edibles, how can he survive? What to speak of starting a God-conscious movement for saving the whole human race like that. You see? So Prabhupada himself was giving himself as an example of somebody who is experiencing that, you know, Krishna's reciprocation in that way. You know, he's feeling, I think there's even something in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says, when we started this movement in a helpless way, in a hopeless way, you know, but we had faith in the words of our spiritual master, and due to the force of the authority, the force of the, you know, the words of the force of the authority of the order of this, you know, the Supreme Personality of God, this movement has become successful. So same thing. You know, he was maybe feeling a bit like that, you know, in a hopeless way, as he's saying, I started this movement like that. But he made that decision. You know, he made that decision. No, I have my service to do. He, you know, took shelter of the philosophy and decided to surrender to Krishna. And then, of course, Krishna reciprocated, and you know, the rest is history. So, yeah, same thing, you know, same thing. The same opportunity is there for us, and it's there every day. You know, it's there every single day. We just have to, and Krishna's arranging things to give us an opportunity to make that choice and, you know, experience that reciprocation, that mercy. Let's see. Yeah, and actually this is, as Prabhupada said, this sort of help from Krishna is transcendental happiness. So it's actually, this is the way in which we will make advancement. It's just the same way, this is the same principle, the way the movement will advance, you know. And really, this is the only way that I can think of. It's otherwise, to just what to speak of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world, which is seems like, you know, an impossible feat. Even just advancing, just even getting out of Maya is not, you know, is no simple little thing. It's, you know, but you know, just by taking shelter of this, it's all possible. I'm going to conclude by reading one paragraph from earlier on in the same eighth canto, which is really nice and very encouraging and will help us understand why it is that, as Prabhupada said, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. And here's the reason why. Here's the reason why. You'll hear it right now. It says, only Krishna can deliver us from this material existence. Indeed, he's always trying to deliver us. Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridayeshu Arjuna tishtati. He is within the core of our hearts and is not at all inattentive. His only aim is to deliver us from material life. It is not that he becomes attentive to us only when we offer prayers to him. Even before we offer our prayers, he incessantly tries to deliver us. He is never lazy in regard to our deliverance. Therefore, this verse says, Budi karunaya namo lalaya. It is the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord that he always tries to bring us back home, back to Godhead. God is liberated, and he tries to make us liberated. But although he is constantly trying, we refuse to accept his instructions. Nonetheless, he does not become angry. Therefore, he is described here as Budi Karunaya, unlimitedly merciful in delivering us from this miserable material condition of life and taking us back home, back to Godhead. So, you know, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is unlimitedly powerful, is one purport in the fifth canto, Prabhupada refers to the Nirukti Diction. His determination is itself, actual fact. You see, Krishna just desires something to happen, and it happens. So with him behind us, you know, Krishna's wanting that this happen. Krishna's wanting that, you know, we be delivered from material existence, and he's wanting that we be instrumental in delivering as much of the rest of the world from material existence as possible. So with that, you know, in the background, it's of course possible. So, okay, so I'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Buck Derek. Just waiting for the microphone, I guess. We're really waiting for the microphone. What's happening? Okay, just ask your question. Go ahead. I'll repeat it, sure. What's the question? So Bhakti Eric is asking what was meant in the word for translation about imitating the form of a fish. Well, first thing that comes to my mind is that, and Prabhupada mentioned this in his the chapter introduction, that he's never affected by the material qualities. So he's imitating the form of a fish in the sense that, you know, the appearance is that of a fish, but that's as far as it goes. You know, he appears like a fish, but he's the Supreme Personality of God. And as he's not experiencing any of the psychophysiological processes of a fish, and it's just he appears like a fish, but he's fully the Supreme Personality of Godhead, unaffected by the material qualities. That's what would come to my mind. Perhaps there's a better answer, I don't know, but that's what I come up with. Anybody else? Anything? Mada, yeah. She's asking, a lot of books are being distributed, and why aren't we seeing more people come to the temple like in the 60s and the 70s? Well, I'll just give you an honest answer, okay? Here in New Dwarka, we have people coming to the temple, not like, you know, in droves, but we do still have people coming to the temple. And I wasn't around in the 60s, I joined in 1973. And I don't remember like that many people coming to the temple. I mean, there were people coming to the temple, but once again, it wasn't like, I mean, it might have been more than what's coming here to New Dwarka now, but it wasn't that much more. I mean, still, it was like a core group of devotees, pretty much, you know, and every now, I mean, at Sunday feast, you get a lot of people coming, and during the week, there'd be some people coming. You know, we had the restaurant there. Well, we have a restaurant here, same thing, but in terms of like people coming out of just sheer interest in Krishna consciousness, it wasn't that much different. Joining, there may have been more people joining then. There are still some people joining now. I mean, it's not like there's no people joining now. I mean, raise your hand if you've joined in the last, say, 5 years here in this room. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We have people joining still. I mean, maybe that was, you know, if we did that same thing in New York in 1975, more hands would have went up. But it's still happening, and so it's not like it's a lost cause, but it's maybe, yeah. But we can try to make it be like that again. Yeah, Swaspru. That's true.
It is expanding tremendously. And even here in New Dwarka, we probably have just around the temple at least 50 or 60 initiated devotees living in some proximity, an hour or more away from the temple. And that's probably more than 50 devotees didn't even live in temples like that. When I joined in Denver, there was only 10 of us that joined. And that 10 lasted all the way up till the middle 70s, like 77. And then after Srila Prabhupada left, then it expanded all the way up to about 60. And then now if you go back to Denver, it's probably less than that, maybe half that. So I'm not quite sure that if that's really the fact. I think these books have influenced people all around the world. Look at the amount of books that are being distributed in India. They do $4 million worth of Srila Prabhupada's books every year. And you can see the result of it. There's tens of thousands of devotees. And in the United States, America, you know, we have to see that this is not the, you know, we're a minority at best. We're a minority in this particular country. But still, the influence that ISKCON has had in America is unbelievable. Vegetarianism, the language like karma, reincarnation, for instance, in this particular temple, we have a restaurant here. When it first opened here at the temple, there was not one vegetarian or vegan restaurant around this area. If you Google in today, we have 18 vegan and vegetarian restaurants within a 2.5 mile radius of this temple. I would say that's pretty good influence in terms of culture, society, people thinking about what Krishna consciousness has to offer.
Yeah. Well, let's end it on that note. Thank you very much. Kunturaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
This is how it is. Just call me as soon as possible, and it is.